The Egyptians, if you listen to the work of Zahi Hawass, who heads up Egyptians Antiquities, he swears by the fact that the Egyptians made the pyramids.
Absolutely.
A lot of people say something else.
Vested interest in tourism.
Yes.
I mean, that's just where Zahari comes from. I'll tell you, I'll give you a couple of simple examples for your listeners. The foundation on which the three pyramids at Giza sit is a granite mountaintop that's been leveled to hold the weight of the stones. And the leveling is so precise that under 13-acre footprint of each pyramid, plus or minus a half inch, 13 acres.
Well, I know. How do you do that? I'm not even sure they could do that with modern-day work.
Yeah, but what the Egyptians had to work with were bronze and copper tools, who have a hardness on a scale of 1 to 10, diamond being a 10, of a 3.5. And granite is a 6.
So
there is no way.
There's no way they could chip away.
No way they could possibly. Now, point number two. There were tunnels under the pyramids that went down, shafts, 4-foot by 4-foot shafts, down through granite, 330 feet at a 26-degree angle. There's no way people with copper and bronze tools are going to cut a shaft.
And little chisels. And
yeah, right. Okay, now, point number three, which is kind of interesting as far as we're concerned, there is on the middle pyramid at Giza, kind of like a snow-capped peak.
Yeah.
You remember seeing that?
Yeah.
Everybody can remember that. Okay, that those are polished
the capstones.
Limestone casing stones.
Yes.
And you know why they don't fall down, George?
I don't know why.
They're glued. Those stones are 1/100th of an inch apart, and there's a mastic in between them that everybody has been able to analyze, but nobody's been able to replicate it, that holds the stones together. That's why they haven't fallen down. They're glued up there.
So they're not just placed there?
No. They would fall down. Gravity would, you know, plump.
And you're saying they don't know what the substance is?
They know what the chemical composition is, George, but we haven't been able to replicate it, and it's stronger than the stone. In other words, it's a... It's a glue that, you know, it's just so advanced that we can't deal with it. And the final thing I can tell you is just recently there have been some work done on the Sphinx, which was built supposedly at the same time as the pyramids. And they determined that the erosion they found on the Sphinx is water erosion.
Right.
And the last time it rained to produce that is 8,000 years ago. And guess what? There were no Egyptians 8,000 years ago.
Is it possible the Sphinx was eroded away not by rainfall, but by this flood, this tsunami?
No.
Okay, so that's not...
Well, if it was, it was 12,000 years ago.
Right.
So anyway, this, you know, now there are quotes in my book on how the pyramids were built, who built them, and why they built them. These come from the cuneiform tablet translation.
Some people say that it's a power source. Do you believe that?
Yes. Well, here, I'll just read you the... they need navigational beacons. So these casing stones that shone in the daylight were brilliant reflectors. They were like mirrors.
Mm-hmm.
So the twin peaks in Turkey, Mount Ararat, is two snow-capped peaks. Where the second set of twin peaks was required, mountains, there were none. Artificial peaks thereon we can raise, so did the leaders say. On the tablet, the image of the smooth-sided, skyward-rising peaks for them he drew. If it can be done, let it be so. Enlil, he's the leader, with approval nodded. Let them also be beacons, serve. Now, here's where the power part comes in. By the Anunnaki, with their tools of power, were the stones cut and erected, beside it in a precise location, the peak that was the twin he placed. With galleries and chambers for pulsating crystals, he designed it. When this artful peak to the heavens rose, to place upon it a capstone, the leaders were invited. Of electrum, an admixture, Gibel fashion, was the apex stone made. The sunlight to the horizon is reflected. By night, like a pillar of fire it was. The power of all the crystals to the heaven in a beam it focused. They made lightning with what was inside in the crystals.
That's interesting.
Now, how? I don't know, but I know the Grand Gallery has 27 pairs of slots on either side of it. And there are story about them holding crystals in there. And the chamber, which they call the king's, had a pulsating crystal in that.
Which obviously they took out.
Oh, yeah. In fact, you know what the dimensions of the inside of that coffer is?
What?
Matches the Ark of the Covenant in the Bible.
Same thing.
Same dimension.
Then, as you know, there are no coincidences.
Well,
everything's planned.
I'm not saying that that's what it was, George. I'm just saying that that's a coincidence, right?
So you believe the pyramids were built as a navigational device?
Absolutely. Absolutely. They needed to find the landing platform. And the two reflecting sun-shining pyramids, sun-reflecting pyramids, were a line drawn between them and the twin mountain snow-capped peaks in Turkey, Mount Ararat.
And how'd they build them, Marshall?
With their power tools and with their chariot. Those stones were somehow...
levitated?
Well, let's say tractor beam.
Yeah.
You know, it's technology that we're talking about in Star Trek.
Right.
I mean, I don't say that's not possible.
Well, if it was created or built by alien technology, anything's possible.
Okay, now, if you want to talk about really construction, that's there's a couple of three stones in a place called Baalbek, Lebanon.
That's like a huge flat platform, isn't it?
That's a 5 million square foot landing platform, but in the northwest corner, there are three stones that are 64 feet long, 14 feet tall, 12 foot wide, and they weigh 1,200 tons each.
And what's their purpose?
Okay. When you launch, like in Canaveral, when we launch our spaceships, we have to push against something.
A gantry, right? Or
well,
you got your gantry.
They pour concrete like mad on a pad underneath.
Okay.
And when the blast goes down, it's pushing against the earth, but it's not just the earth down there. It's a huge amount of concrete.
Sure.
So in this northwest corner must have been their launch corner, and these stones had to be taken from the quarry. Now, I mentioned 1,200 tons.
This is one piece?
One piece. There's three of them. And they left one in the quarry to show what it looked like.
All right.
And then they lifted them up a hill, which is a half a mile away, and then they put them 36 feet in the air on top of some foundation stones and fitted them end to end perfectly without any mortar, and they still sit there today. And people have been, you know, just going bonkers trying to figure out how that was done. I don't think I know of any technology that we have, George,
that could do that today.
Could do it today.
Well, that's true. They're even talking about
part of connecting the dots of these artifacts and sites in the book.
So you think this area was a landing zone or in launching zone
for
spaceships?
Take off and land, sure.